We've been talking about this topic, growing in love, loving others. Today I'm going to talk about, I hope I can try my best to kind of end this series, and I'm going to touch base on this last topic, discuss this last topic, which is about loving others, right? So who is others? Who is others? Others is anyone but you, okay? Anyone but me. Loving others is any other people but me, myself. Just to open up, a few months ago, I was involved in a friendly discussions, and we talk about what it means to be a Christian, during that time, there was this TV personality, and she proudly announced herself that she is a Christian. But interestingly enough, her claim of Christianity was not confirmed by her actions. Her claim of Christianity was not followed by her action. She made a statement on one of the TV shows, and she said, this is what she said, I have had sex, and honestly, Jesus still loves me. And then another statement that she said, regardless of anything that I've done, I can do whatever, I can sin daily, and Jesus still loves me. I'm not here to judge her in any way, so please don't get me wrong. I'm not here to judge her. I'm not here to shame her in any way. Being honest with you, I'm imperfect. I have a lot of issues on my own. I have a lot of struggles on my own that I'm not proud of. So I'm not here to judge her action in any way. But I do want to share with you my perception. I do want to share with you my observations on that statement. Once again, this is my perceptions. This is my observation. I don't know her personally, so I haven't checked with her whether my perception is correct or not. I haven't met her or talked to her personally, so I haven't had a chance to confirm whether my observation is true or not. But anyway, she said, I have had sex and Jesus still loves me. My perceptions when I hear that statement, that my perception that in her mind, she believed that being loved by Jesus is important. Being loved by Jesus is important. When I heard her statement, basically, she believed that regardless of what her action is, regardless of what she do, what you do, you are loved by Jesus, which is a big deal. She also said, regardless of anything that I've done, I can do whatever, I can sin daily, and Jesus still loves me. My perceptions when I hear that statement is that one of the biggest goals in her life is to be loved by Jesus. Thanks. Is to be loved by Jesus. One of the greatest goals in her life is to be loved by Jesus. Because seems like she doesn't care about anything else as long as Jesus still loves me. When I hear her statement, I think what in her mind is one of the greatest accomplishments in her life is to be loved by Jesus. To me, it sounds like in her mind, the goal of Christianity is for Jesus to love her. I'm not trying to water down the fact that Jesus loves us. I'm not trying to undermine the fact and water down the fact that the love of Jesus. I'm not trying to diminish the fact that Jesus actually loves us. I hope you understand that the grace of God shown by Jesus on the cross, it is a big deal. He showed his love by dying on the cross for us, and it is a big deal. He paid such a high price for you and me, and it is a big deal. He loved you so much such that I believe he cannot love you much more than he already was, is, and will. And that is a big deal. It is a big deal to be loved by God. It is a big deal to be loved by Jesus. However, I do want to say that love by God is not a goal of Christianity. Love by God is not an accomplishment. It's not the final destination. It's not something that we as a Christian, we are trying to achieve. Because God loves us no matter what. God loves you, God loves me, despite our race, despite our sex, despite our action, despite how much we give. God loves us whether we are good or bad. God loves us whether we go to church or the mosque. God loves us whether we are being honest or dishonest. God loves us whether you are a Christian, a Buddhist, an atheist. It does not matter. What I'm trying to say is, to be loved by God is not a goal. It's not a final destination. It's not something that we are trying to achieve. We are loved by God by simply being a human. It is something that is given. For a Christian to have a goal to be loved by God, for a Christian to have a goal to be loved by God, in my mind, it's like someone who has a goal to become a Google employee just for the sake that he can use Google search engine. I mean, I hope you know that in order for you to use Google search engine, you don't have to be a Google employee. I hope you know that. If you don't know, let me know. No, I don't want to know. It is available. Google search engine is available for everyone. It's just a matter of using it. There is some additional perks of becoming a Google employee compared to others. There is a different functions, a different missions of being a Google employee compared to others. But as far as using Google search engine, you don't need to be a Google employee. Once again, I simply want to say, to be loved by God, to be desired by God, to be accepted by God, it's not a goal. It's just about being human. It is something that is given. I want you to think about this a little more. God hates sin. He cannot look at sin. He cannot stand in the presence of sin. Because of sin, we are separated from God. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 says that by your iniquities, your sin has separated you from God. Your sin has hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. But he loves us so much. Even though we are still sinners, even though he cannot look at sin, even though we still hate him, even though we still don't want to be with him, even though he knows that not all people will accept him, even though he knows that a lot of people will misunderstand him, a lot of people will hate him, but despite all that, he chose to die for all. There is no greater love than this, to lay down your life for others. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. To sacrifice for someone that you know will love you back is one thing. To sacrifice for someone that you know will respond back is one thing. But Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. When we still hate him, when we're still dirty. But once again, Jesus died not just for the people who will love him back. Jesus not died for people who will accept him. He died for everyone, including those who hate him, including those who will reject him, including those who declare themselves to be his enemy. There is no question. He loves us. He sacrificed for us. But once again, I like to point out, we don't have to be a Christian in order to be loved by God. Christian does not equal to people who is loved by God, because God loves everyone. But being Christian means you are the follower of Jesus. Being Christian means that people who accept the teaching of Jesus, following Jesus and worship him. Christian means that people who accept and acknowledge that he is our Savior, the only one that can save us. But also he's our Lord. He's our master. Lacking of a better terms, he is our boss. Christians means that people who are willingly accept the lordship of Jesus and give their life fully to God. Christians are loved by God, But what makes Christians different from other human beings are whether he or she accept and follow the teaching of Jesus. That's what being Christian is all about. There's this verse taken in from Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says this: "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. My take on this verse, this is my take, this is my understanding, this is my interpretation. God did not predestine certain people to heaven and predestine some to hell. He did not predestine certain people to be conformed to the image of his Son while others to the image of something else. God does not predestine some to be Christians while others to be atheist or not Christian. God did not choose certain people to be Christian while some others to be atheist or some other religion. My take on this verse is that God foreknew, meaning he knew at the beginning of time who will make decisions to follow him or not. God, in the beginning of time, he knew that who will accept him as Lord and Savior. He knew all that, and he predestined those he knew that's going to be accept, that's going to accept him to be conformed to the image of his Son. He predestined Christians, those who decided to follow him, those who acknowledge that Jesus is their Savior and Lord, their Master. He predestined that group of people, Christians, to be conformed to the image of his Son. If what I just said does not make sense, just went over your head, you have different opinions, hey, invite me for a coffee and we'll talk about it more, okay? But anyway, all I'm trying to say, I'm trying to point out, if you declare yourself to be Christian, I want you to know that part of the package, part of the deal, is to be transformed into the image of his Son. If you decided to follow him, I want you to know that part of the deal, part of the package, part of God's plan, part of God's will is to transform you, to mold you, to change you into the image of his Son. Being Christian means that God will process you, God will process us, he will sanctify us, he will mold us into the image of his Son. And this process will take forevermore, I don't know when. It's process, it's God's plan, it's God's will, it's what God desires for each one of us. In other words, if you like to set a goal, if you like to set a final destination, the goal should be to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. So my first stop today, I want to evaluate, I want to invite you to evaluate your heart and to evaluate your Christianity. What is your Christianity is all about? Is Christianity about you or is it about something else? Christianity is so much more than just a hell insurance. Christianity is so much more than just an activity that you have to do on Friday and Sunday. Unfortunately, I want to say that Christianity is so much more than an assurance that you're going to have a bright future. Christianity, if applied and performed correctly, will have an impact that is so much bigger than yourself. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, Christianity always involved impact. Christianity always involved influence. Christianity always involved loving others. Call of God to Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curse you, I will curse." And it doesn't stop there. "And all people on earth will be blessed through you." The purpose of God does not stop in blessing you. The purpose of God does not stop in cursing those who curse you, but it continues on. All people on the earth will be blessed through you. God's plan for you is so much bigger than yourself, so much bigger than your future, so much bigger than your prosperity, your security, your name it. You name it. God's plan is bigger than your exam. God's plan is bigger than your homework. God's plan is bigger than what you have in your bank account. It's so much bigger than that. God's plan for you involves others. God's plan for you involves impacting nations. God's plan for you involving changing people, changing a faith of a nation. God's plan for you is so much more and so much bigger than yourself. In Psalms 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. So I invite you, search your heart and be honest with yourself what being Christian means to you. If it only involves you, then I'm trying to say there's so much more that you can discover by being this Christian. As I mentioned before, God's will for us is to be conformed to the image of His Son. Same thing with loving others. We have a very high bar. Our call is to be like Jesus and love like Jesus. Our call is to be like Jesus, which means we need to love like Jesus. To love like Jesus, what does that mean? What does that mean to love like Jesus? Romans chapter 5, verse 8, I already read this verse, but I may read it again. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God, the most holy one, loves sinners like us. Love like Jesus means that we are called to love those who are different from us. Love like Jesus means that we are called to love those who are different from us, to those who are disagreeing with us, to love those who may be against us, to love those who maybe think about the bad thing about us. That's what loving like Jesus is all about. God's will for us is to show love to those who might be viewed unworthy, to those who might be viewed as non-deserving in our society. In Matthew chapter 6, He says that you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on righteous and the righteous, unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collector doing that? To love like Jesus is to love those who may have the wrong impressions about me, about us. To love like Jesus is to love our enemy. James chapter 1, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Jesus looks beyond race, sex, social status, view, and belief. Jesus shows love for everyone. Jesus shows love to everyone. This is something that we are far from, I believe, but I think we can learn and we need to learn. We need to learn how to view people deeper than their race, than what they can do, than what they can contribute, but we need to realize and accept the fact that all person is created by the very image and the likeness of God. That's why they all deserve respect, they all deserve dignity, and they all deserve equality. Despite of what they believe, despite of what they do, they are created in the very image and the likeness of God. And that's why, once again, they deserve respect, they respect dignity, They deserve equality. They deserve love. Differences should not stop us from loving others. Love like Jesus means that we need to learn how to love those even they are different from us. Love like Jesus. John chapter 6 verse 38 says this, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me." So what does it mean to love like Jesus? What does it look like to love like Jesus? Jesus coming down from heaven to earth to do God's will. A lot of time loving others require us to go from our heaven, require us to go from our comfort zone, require us to go from our peace zone and go into a war zone. Loving like Jesus means go. Loving like Jesus means go. Let's think about this for a moment. For I have come down from heaven. Heaven is a place where the street is made out of gold. The wall and the foundation is made out of precious stone. The place is huge. There is no tears, there is no sorrow, there is no pain. One thing that makes me really excited about heaven is the presence of God. In Revelation, it says that the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light. I mean, I really want to experience that. I really want to see what the glory of God looks like. All I'm trying to say is that heaven is an awesome place to be. Heaven is a nice place to be. It's an awesome place to be. It's a great place to be. Your most favorite place in this world is nothing. It's incomparable. It cannot be compared to what heaven looks like. But think about it. But think about it. When you leave a place to go to a different place, the most logical explanation, the most common sense is because the new place is better than the old place. Right? Some of us move from New York. Some of us move from Indonesia to Bay Area to here. Some of us move from SoCal to here. Why? Because this place is better. Right? The atmosphere is better. The people is better. Anything is better. That's why you move here. Right? That's the most common sense. That's the most logical explanations. But I think you and I know a lot of time love make people do the unreasonable thing. A lot of time love make people do something that defy logic. Love make people do the unreasonable and the unlogical thing. Jesus left heaven, a much nicer place than the nicest place that you can imagine. And he did all that because he loved us. Is it reasonable? It is not. Does it make sense? It is not. But he did all that because he loves us. So with that, love like Jesus. Love like Jesus means that we, a lot of times, we need to go. We need to go out from our comfort zone. We need to go from our places that we are already familiar with. Go from places that is peaceful. Go from places that is full with milk and honey and go. Because at the other places, there are people that need love. Because at the other places, that there are people that need help. Because at the other places, it needs transformations. Because at the other places, they need the touch of God. A lot of time, loving like Jesus means that we need to leave our heaven, whatever they might be, and go to a place where there are a lot of issues and problems. A place that we might not be comfortable with. A place that where God sent us to go. Because at the other place, there are people that need love, need transformation, need a touch from God. Church, do you know that a Christian organization is always one of the first responder, one of the first agency on the scene after a tragedy or natural disaster? Do you know that in places where there is poverty, where there is hunger, there's lack of shelter, there's lack of medical care, there's lack of clean water, I'm pretty sure I can guarantee you there's always a Christian organization there or trying to get there. Do you know that for most of those Christian organizations, they will provide help, they will provide relief, despite whether these people have the same belief or not, whether they are Christians or not. Do you know that these agencies will provide relief in a holistic way, meaning that they're not just providing temporary relief, they're not just providing a temporary food, but most of them will work on the social issues. They will work, they build infrastructure, they will give job training and so on and so forth. They will work with the community so that the community can be transformed as a whole. Why do these agencies go? Why do these Christian organizations go? Because these agencies, because this organization is filled with Christians who know that they have a calling far greater than themselves. Because this organization is filled with Christians who know that their calling is to love and to love others and to love like Jesus. To love like Jesus. To go to hard places because there are people there who needs love, who needs the touch of God. For the past few weeks, we have been showing a video from World Harvest. So World Harvest is an organization that exists to impact the world. They focus on three things: community, education, and media services. I wanna show you this last short video about them, about the things that they do.
Nama saya Yulita Melia. Umur saya 10 tahun. Inilah lingkungan tempat tinggal saya.
Nama saya Ramalia. Kegiatan saya sehari-hari berdagang. Ya, penghasilnya bisa buat makan lah, sama buat jajan anak, bahan sekolah anak. Bapaknya udah gak kerja lagi, udah lama. Yulita dibantu dari APES dari kelas 2 SD, sekarang kelas 4. Harapan saya buat APES ya, supaya anak saya Yulita biar sekolah tinggi kalau bisa.
Saya berterima kasih kepada donatur saya yang telah membantu saya untuk sekolah sampai saat ini.
Terima kasih APES.
Take it from their website that that kid is live in Jakarta, but World Harvest is everywhere. Taken from their website, this is what they say. Why do they serve? Why do they exist? The answer is because 21% of children in Papua, only 21% of children in Papua are able to gain access to elementary education. Someone actually left their comfort of their home and went to Papua. Why go? Because there are people in Papua who need help, who need transformation. Why Papua? Because as much as God loved Americans, He also loved the Papuan. Only 62% of Pakistani children over the age of 10 have never attended school. 61%, 62%. Someone actually left the peace or wherever they are from, the peace zone wherever they live, and go to a war zone in Pakistan. Why go? To love like Jesus. Because in Pakistan, there are people that need love, that need help, that need transformation. We are created to be like Jesus. We are blessed so that all people on earth will be blessed through us. Nearly 30% of youth in Sierra Leone in Africa had no education at all. Only 5% of all youth made it to primary school and just 3% made it to secondary school. Only 7% of Nepali youth are able to complete primary school. Long story short, there is a need all across the world, and we are called to do something to help. Someone actually left their heaven, their comfort place, their peaceful place to go places like Papua, Pakistan, Sierra Leone, and Nepal. Because Jesus loves people in Papua, in Pakistan, in Sierra Leone and Nepal. There are people that need love, that need help, that need transformation, that need the touch of God. Love like Jesus means go. Love like Jesus means go. Love like Jesus means a lot of times doing the illogical thing, doing the thing that is different from common sense. Love like Jesus a lot of times means that we need to go out from our comfort zone to show love, and do something for others. I'm running out of time. I'm going to close. I ask the musicians to help me out and close this. Growing in love, loving others. As I close, I just want to remind us once again that we can love because God loves us first. The only reason why we can love because God loves us first. His love is so abundant. His love is so overflowing. Nothing we do will ever compare to what He did, what He supplied, what He provided for us. His love is our source of energy. His love is our source of strength to love others. His love is the main reason why we need to love others. So as I close, I just want to share a couple of application points for you. So for the applications, how can we learn how to love others? How can we learn how to love others? The first one that I want to say is to expand your horizon. Expand your horizon. Meaning that His calling in your life is so much bigger than just living for yourself. So try to expand your horizon. Challenge yourself to look beyond yourself. Challenge yourself to look beyond your well-being. Challenge yourself to look beyond your future. Your future is in God's hand and it's in a good hand. But I challenge you to look beyond yourself. Expand your horizon. Try to start thinking about other people. Try to start thinking about people other than yourself. Accept the calling that you are created to become a blessing for many people. Accept the calling that you are created to become a light of the world. You are called to become the city on a hill that lights many other cities. Accept that calling. My second point for application is you need to start somewhere. You can start small, but you need to be consistent. You need to start somewhere. You can start small, but you need to be consistent. If you are married, start loving your wife the way she wants it. Love your wife the way she wants it. I'm not a good example of this. My wife's love language is word of affirmations. And man, talking and speaking is the least favorite thing that I like to do. But I want to learn. I want to learn. I'm trying hard, but I keep forgetting. I need to train myself just to say I love you every day. I don't know. I need to set a schedule or something maybe to remind me. But I want to start something. Try to show love to other people. You need to start somewhere. You can be small, but you need to be consistent. Try to show your love toward your friend. Ask hi. Say hi. Ask genuinely how they are doing. And really interested to know and learn how they are doing. Get lunch, get coffee with them. Try to get to know them. Get lunch, get coffee. And I'm talking about, you know, not just eating together and then busy with your phone, but take your phone down and start a conversation and get to know the other person. You cannot love someone if you don't know them. Start somewhere. Start small, but be consistent. If you have a child, play with your child. When I say play, it doesn't mean that you share the same play area. It doesn't mean that you're busy with your phone, texting, playing, and your child is playing next to you. When I say play with your child, really play with your child. Play puzzle together. Play board games. Play kitchen. Play dress up. Be silly together. You need to start somewhere. It can be small, but you need to be consistent. If you're part of a care group, when I say care group, I'm not talking about the meeting that we have every other week. I'm talking about when I say about being part of a care group is about building a community and care about it. I'm talking about get in touch with your fellow care group member during the weekdays. Get lunch, get dinner, encourage them, say something positive about them. Text them every day. Don't be annoying, but text them, encourage them, give something positive in their life. You need to start somewhere. You can be small, but you need to be consistent. Be creative in ways to show love to others. And lastly, I just want to, my last application point, as I mentioned before, we have been showing Gold Harvest video and information. We've been mentioning it for the past few weeks. So I encourage you to start, participate, and sponsor a child. I'm talking about $1 a day. $1 a day. I think that's small enough. With $1 a day, you cannot even get boba anymore. During my time, they used to have McDonald's dollar menu for $1, but I don't think you can get it anymore, right? Anybody McDonald's fan? I don't think you can get anything for $1 in McDonald's other than coffee, I heard. You start somewhere, it can be small, but be consistent. $1 a day. If you're still sponsored by your parents, when I say $1 a day, it does not mean that you're using your parents' money to pay for $1 a day. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, you sacrifice something in your life for the well-being of others. $1 a day. If you buy a large coffee every day, buy a small one instead so you can save $1 a day. If you drink boba every day, boba is $5 easy. You skip once a week or twice a week, so that you can afford $1 a day for the well-being of others. If you eat out every day, hey, eat fried eggs and rice once a week. It's not going to kill you. It's okay. So that you can afford $1 a day for the well-being of others. Be creative, church. My point is simply stop living for yourself. Start living out the call of God in your life to love others. Start somewhere. It can be small, but be consistent. I know loving is not easy. When you love someone, when you show care to someone, sometimes people will take advantage of you. A lot of time people will misunderstand you. Hey, I know it's not easy. But like what I said, we can love because God loves us first. So if you are in a place where you feel like, man, I don't have it anymore. I cannot love anymore. I encourage you to come to God. I encourage you to come to God and ask Him to fill you with His love once again. His love is our source of strength, our source of power, the main reason why we need to love others. So ask Him. He's not going to judge you. He's not going to make fun of you. He's going to answer your prayer and fill you with His love once again. I'm going to close with this verse taken from Ephesians chapter 3. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of God.